98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort Masters, proud home services partner of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 o'clock reset.
Going to run through the top stories of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show. We do it every day at 4 o'clock. This is the halfway point to the Burns and Gambo Show. This is where you can go to get caught up on what's going on in sports. Actually going to start with the NFL on this one because we had another coach who got let go. David Culley, the head coach of the Houston Texans, the latest head coach firing. He is one and done. When he was let go, when he was hired, I should say, they only guaranteed him 2 years of money, according to Adam Schefter. So there was always this belief that he could be very one and done by the Houston Texans. One league source texted Schefter about his one-year tenure, quote, "I knew it when he was hired," close quote, that he was going to be out after 1 year.
Interesting. Yeah, Capers, Kubiak, O'Brien, he is the franchise's, the fourth head coach in their franchise's history. And now, that was speculation for a few days. I don't know what took them so long, but apparently what I was reading in the Houston Chronicle is that they took time to evaluate the personnel side of the organization. The general manager and their senior executive vice president, they recommended that Culley be fired after one season.
Yeah, now the speculation has turned to a replacement, and some in the industry, starting with Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network, real quick to point out who the Texans might be looking at as their next head coach.
Someone with an existing relationship with Nick Caserio became available. That, of course, is Coach Brian Flores, who was fired on Monday in a surprise move by the Miami Dolphins. I would anticipate the Texans are going to run a targeted search here. They are going to move swiftly. Certainly Flores is one name to consider here as potentially the next coach again of the Houston Texans.
Nick Caserio used to work with the New England Patriots, almost suggesting that this all happened because Flores was available and they wanted to jump on him before anybody else got him. Interesting.
Well, they're trying to get out from under what was just a mess. The Bill O'Brien era, the J.J. Watt, the trade demands of Deshaun Watson, the DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, it was just an absolute mess. I mean, I had 31 new players on their roster this year. 31 new players. 22 of them were on one-year deals. So they weren't expecting to compete this year.
From the Suns today, Chris Paul not at practice due to what was being termed additional COVID-19 testing. However, he was not listed on the team's injury report. So the thinking now moving forward is that he should be available tomorrow against Indiana. Cam Johnson is listed as questionable, as is Ish Wainwright, for that game tomorrow, Gambo.
Yeah, I checked just to see if there was any update on Chris, and there was not an update. They have no update on Chris to report at this point. So we'll see that if he's good to go for tomorrow or not. But at this point, no update on Chris Paul.
And the second All-Star returns in the NBA were revealed today. Devin Booker continues to be the highest vote getter for the Suns with nearly 650,000 votes, but he is still running fifth among guards in the Western Conference. Chris Paul actually dropped the spot to seventh. He's got Russell Westbrook in front of him now. DeAndre Ayton remains 10th among front court players when it comes to the fan voting so far. Gambo?
Yeah. So did the Kendall Jenner bump didn't really help?
Apparently not. Yeah.
What's up with that? I thought that was going to all of a sudden vault to number one.
I thought that was going to give him a big lift. Maybe they haven't counted those votes yet, but I thought that was going to give him a big lift.
Right. Vote for my boyfriend.
Who knows? Maybe him changing his Twitter avatar to the dinosaur with the Toronto Raptors, maybe that helps bump his vote somewhat, you know?
Yeah, well, maybe people said, you know what, I can't vote for a guy that gets pissed at team's mascots.
Maybe that.
I think today is a double double vote retweet day, too.
Oh, is today a double vote retweet day? Yeah, so if you retweet.
Oh, it's like buy one, get one free at Carvel on Wednesdays. Jeez.
Sounds good. Yeah. Ice cream sounds
Wednesday's
real good right
free,
now.
Free Sunday day.
But our top story of the day on the Burns and Gambo Show comes with the health of the Arizona Cardinals. Here is the official practice report, the first official injury report for practice for the Cardinals and the Rams today. These are the guys who did not practice, officially listed as DNPs for the Cardinals. Zach Allen, Kelvin Beachum, James Connor, Zach Ertz, Antonio Hamilton, Rodney Hudson, and Jonathan Ward. Now, I'll tell you right now, Hudson, Ertz, and Beachum were listed as rest days. So they just got the day off.
Yeah.
Antonio Hamilton apparently is dealing with a tooth. So he didn't practice. Maybe that's not that big of a deal. All the other guys were either limited or full. J.J. Watt's not on this list because he still hasn't been fully activated yet, right? The window was open for his return.
He's got a tooth problem?
Antonio Hamilton has a tooth problem.
Man, you know what Tom Hanks would have done with that?
Taking the ice skate out of the FedEx box, and he would have knocked that sucker right out.
Knocked himself right out.
Yeah.
And then lose all the light in the battery on the flashlight because he left the flashlight on. I mean, you got to do what you got to do to play, Antonio. I'm just saying.
Come on, Tom. Turn off the flashlight. Come on. Save your batteries, Tom.
Get something in the house and, you know, just bang it out of there.
Yeah. Cliff Kingsbury today addressed the various injured guys. The running back, let's just kind of go through this spot by spot. The running back position, Connor and Edmonds. Cliff Kingsbury said he thinks it's going to be game time type decision.
I think it'll be game time. They got some limited work in today, and we'll see how they progress. It'll be close.
But Chase Edmonds was asked about it today. He met with the media, and he left very little wiggle room on this one.
Yeah, I'm feeling good to go. So I'll be out there Monday night. Number 2 will be suited up.
Go get him, Chase.
Yeah.
Go get him.
I felt really good, you know, that Chase was going to be able to go in this game. I chatted with him earlier in the week, and I know he wanted to play in this game so bad. And no matter what, nothing was going to keep him off that field. So that's a big shot in the arm for the Cardinals to get Chase back. He's a very dynamic player and can really help catching the ball out of the backfield. And then he's always got that ability to break those big runs.
He was also asked about James Conner, and here's what he said.
You know, I'm not going to speak on his health. I believe that, you know, with this playoff game, it's to me, I find it very hard to believe that JC is going to miss this game. You can take that with a grain of salt. I'm not a doctor, obviously, but just knowing him and the competitor that he is, it's going to be hard to not have six out there. So I believe that hopefully, you know, he will be there.
Having both of those guys available, I cannot stress enough how big of a deal that would be if they're both out there. That's
he
so important.
Said, I'm not a doctor, but I do watch a lot of medical documentaries.
I do. I play one on TV.
I do watch.
I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night, right? Yeah.
Yeah, this one where some old lady's on the floor and this woman comes out and goes, "You a doctor?" "No, but I watch a lot of medical shows. I can take care of this." I watch, there's so many, there's so many medical shows.
Yes.
I watched House when it was very popular. I know
I watched ER when it was very popular. My wife still watches Grey's Anatomy all the time. I'm sure she feels like she's a doctor. She's watched all 25 seasons of Grey's Anatomy.
So many medical shows on.
I'm sure she thinks she could take care of somebody if she had to. So that's the running back position. J.J. Watt, I mentioned him. Cliff Kingsbury, it was reported he was on the practice field getting some work done. Here's how Cliff described it.
Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, it's the next step. So we're not going to get ahead of ourselves on whether he's going to play or not for a while. It's great to have him back out there, you know, get him involved in some of the drill work. He was very limited, but that's really what it was. He's done with his rehab, done with all he could do in the weight room. And so we wanted to get him back out doing some functional football exercises. And that was the step today.
You've heard he looked good today, though, right?
I heard J.J. Watt look good. Yeah, I heard he looked good. And there's still time. You still got Friday, you got Saturday, you got Sunday because this game's on Monday. You know, more time. What you don't want to hear is there was a setback. That's what you're hoping not to hear. I think as long as you don't get bad news,
I think it's
trending towards him playing. The thing you're looking for is JJ had a setback. He wasn't able to finish practice. He had to go get treatment, and you know, something like that could throw it off to the point where, okay, then he's not going to be able to play. But after today, you know, we'll see. There was definitely not any bad news for sure.
In addition to Chase Edmonds being back on the practice field today, Rondale Moore listed as limited. Jordan Phillips listed as limited. Marco Wilson listed as limited. Those are three very important guys for the team to be able to get back if it can happen, Gambo.
Yeah, I think there's a chance that Breshad Breeland will be active and ready to play in this game.
Okay.
There's a chance for that. And I think there's a good chance that Marco will be available. Look, they got down to their fifth and sixth corners in some of these games, and it wasn't very good. That Borders kid was not good, and Kevin Peterson had some struggles. You want to make sure you get your corners back. It's an important position. You're going up against the Rams team that has Odell Beckham Jr. and Cooper Kupp, and they're very dynamic in their passing game. So Marco Wilson's a rookie, but, man, they need him. They need him.
You can watch the Cardinals-Rams game on Monday at your nearest Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. It's the Big Red Viewing Party. Enjoy delicious handcrafted food and specials on Four Peaks products. That includes Easy Hazy. For more information, check out coldbeers.com. Four Peaks Brewing Company is an official partner of the Arizona Cardinals. Always enjoy responsibly. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, Kyler Murray knows for a fact this game is going to be won in the trenches. Who has the advantage, the Rams D-line or the Cardinals O-line? We'll talk about it next, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Cardinals championship chase coverage presented by 72 Soul on the home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo talk cards in the playoffs. Now.
Yesterday, Cliff Kingsbury got a lot of attention locally and nationally for coming out and saying that he thinks that Kyler Murray's first playoff experience will be a rousing success. Basically saying, I expect him to play one of, if not the best game of his professional career when we make our playoff debut on Monday. And we talked about it a lot yesterday, and it got some play even nationally because some people are looking at that as, man, that's a lot of pressure Cliff just put on Kyler. I don't think Kyler is really fazed by whatever Cliff is going to say about him in a press conference when it comes to the pressure in this game. Do you?
No, I don't. It's going to be a lot of things said. When you get to this point, right, I mean, every single game, it doesn't matter if you're playing on Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. I mean, it's the center of the universe. I mean, millions and millions of eyes will be on you watching you. But this is not new for Kyler. You know, he's played in front of gigantic crowds in high school and in college, and this will be more people watching than ever before. But I've never thought that the stage is too big for Kyler based on his experience in the past.
Now, in order for that to happen, in order for Cliff's, you know, prophecy, if you will, to come true about this being the best game of his career, Kyler's going to need some help. And today, Kyler, this is the only time he's going to speak all week long, so we've been playing back a lot of the sound from Kyler today for you. Kyler today talked about this game in the trenches and what he's expecting from his offensive line against their defensive line.
They got, big-name guys that are big-time players that have played in big games. And as a competitor, you know, these are the games you got to step up in and make plays and execute. I mean, there's no shying away from this. We know who we're playing. We know the caliber of guys that got over there, guys that can, you know, wreck a game. And we gotta match the energy and be ready to play. There's no way around it. You know, to get to the Super Bowl, you gotta beat everybody. So. You know, it just so happens we have to play the Rams first. And we understand, yes, they have a great D-line. Yes, they get off the passer. We gotta play well.
Yeah, the five guys up front, Gambo. It's if Kyler's going to have this great game, man, those five guys need to have a great game too, because this Rams defense is going to bring it. They're loaded with guys who can bring it.
Yeah, if the first play of the game, Aaron Donald pushes whoever he's going up against into the backfield, and I might just shut the TV off right then and there. Like, if the first play of the game, Max Garcia is on his wheels going backwards. And
on skates.
I'm done.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't want to watch this.
I'm out.
No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing. But, I mean, it really does come down with the ability to to slow him down. I mean, these guys, Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald, are two of the best players in the entire league at their positions. Aaron Donald's the best player defensive player in the league. He's the best player at his position. Jalen Ramsey arguably is the best player at his position. And they're great players, and they're going to make plays, and you just got to expect that. But everything that Kyler's saying is right. I mean, he's ready for this moment. He knows that they get after. Very familiar with this team. Whether that's a plus or a minus, I'm not sure. Maybe it's a plus. I mean, Cliff knows them well. He finally got over the hump this year and beat them. I don't know if that gives us any more of a belief that they can win this game. If he hadn't won any games, maybe we're like, he's never beaten them. He's not going to. But I remember when they were playing the Rams the first time this year, said, I'm not picking the Cardinals to beat the Rams ever until he proves that he can beat them. Well, this year he proved that he can win a game against them.
Yeah, and now Von Miller is obviously going to have a huge impact in this. He's played
good.
Really well. Five sacks in his last four games. He's kind of starting to heat up right now for this team, and it's not just him. It's Leonard Floyd, too. He's obviously been very good. One guy who I remember the last time these two teams played, just about a month and a half ago, who I thought impacted the game not as much as Aaron Donald, But I thought he gave Kyler some problems was that rookie inside linebacker Ernest Jones. He's not going to play in this game as he's working his way back from a high ankle sprain, so maybe that helps a little. But obviously when we're having this conversation, we're talking about Aaron Donald and just finding some way to somewhat neutralize him, which I know is a gigantic ask, but you're right. If he starts pushing guys around on the Cardinals' offensive line, it could be a real long day, and it could change in a big hurry for the Cardinals.
So if you're not going to throw the ball to the wide receivers, like the, if you're gonna do a lot of checkdowns to tight ends and running backs, I mean, there may be times you just got to keep an extra offensive lineman in. I mean, to block that guy. Like, I understand you want to go four wide sometime, three wide, but they're not getting the ball to the wide receivers much anyway. What was the number you had yesterday about the last game? Seattle took away the deep threat. Most of the majority of the passes with the tight end and running backs.
He had 28 completions, and I think all but like eight were to either running backs or tight ends Seattle. Yeah,
yeah. If that's going to be the case, then you know, find a way to get keep tight ends in and block. This is where, man, I really, you know, this is where I miss Max Williams.
Yeah, big time.
Because Max Williams is a hell of a blocking tight end. So this is where I miss Max.
Zach Ertz, and we talked yesterday about the red zone production and how it's been in a steep decline for the Cards the last 3 or 4 weeks. Kyler today spoke about Ertz and what he's provided the passing game, and I would suspect he needs to provide a little more for those red zone possessions.
I mean, he's just a comfort level. You know, it's crazy. You go back and watch it, I think. You know, he's always open. I don't know how, I don't know why, but he literally is. You know, if I go back and look, like I threw the ball the other way. If I go back and watch Zach, you know, 9 times out of 10, he won his route. So, you know, he's a savvy guy who knows how to get open. You know, knows every defensive coverage, known to man, and. You know, he's a great teammate.
Getting James Conner back, if that happens, will help for the Cardinals' red zone, but targeting Zach Ertz a little more down there might help too.
Yeah, I think he's their most reliable pass catcher right now, and he's a big target. And, you know, A.J. Green has seemed a little reluctant to go over the middle. That's not Zach Ertz. Where do you want me to go? Like, you want me to run through that wall? I'll run through that. You know, what do you need me to do? He'll do whatever you need to do. So if you want to make those plays in the middle of the field, I really would count on Zach. And Christian Kirk is not afraid to go over the middle either. So I really want Christian Kirk to get the ball more. I do. That's like we can talk about James Conner and A.J. Green and Zach Ertz all day until we're blue in the face. I want Christian Kirk to get the ball more.
Yeah, I think he's been a little underutilized at times this year because they're not late or not early in the season, but later in the season there were a couple of times I thought he was a little underutilized. There was just too much emphasis on trying to get A.J. Green the ball, and it wasn't working last week. Texas, your thoughts on this Cards-Rams game coming up on Monday. The FanDuel text line is there for you. You can text us at 620-620. When we come back, strengths and weaknesses of the Cardinals as seen by the outsiders going into this game. There's quite a few of them. We'll see if you agree or disagree with them next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Arizona Sports, breaking news.
All right. What do we got? We're breaking news. I wasn't expecting the sounder here. You got something, Gambo?
Yeah, this is exciting. The all-star representative for the Arizona Coyotes will be Clayton Keller. He will be named the team's all-star representative. The game's going to be in Vegas on February 5th. This is going to be his second all-star appearance. He was also an all-star in 2019. So Clayton Keller will be the representative for the Arizona Coyotes in the all-star game in Vegas on February 5th. It's going to be announced shortly. I believe that they are going to announce it on SportsCenter. I'm going to put it on right now. I think they're going to announce it in a few minutes. But I am hearing it will be Clayton Keller that will be the Coyotes representative for the All-Star game is what I'm hearing.
Okay, and that's coming up on February. And you say it's his second appearance, right?
It'll be a second. He was an All-Star in 2019. Yeah, so this will be a second appearance, and the game will be in Vegas. So he's had a good season. So congratulations to him. And again, I'm looking for the somewhere in the next couple of minutes, they're supposed to be announcing on SportsCenter the All-Stars. So I'll watch that on SportsCenter, but I will tell you now that I'm expecting that it will be Clayton Keller.
All right. That's the breaking news here. We'll get that confirmed in the next couple of minutes, but it sounds like that's where this is headed. It's 4:30 in the afternoon, which means we need to get an update on our Twitter poll question of the day, and we turn it back over to Mitch for that.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
It's a really tricky question because it defining this, we struggled with it earlier. We're struggling with it now. Defining what makes for a complete team in the National Football League. Pro Football Focus took a stab at it. They actually said the 49ers were the most complete team in the playoffs. Which
it's a pretty bold stab.
It's kind of a bold stab, yeah. To say with all the greatness that the 49ers are the most complete. So we turned it around and we asked our audience the same question. Mitch, what do you have for us?
All right, so our poll question today has to do with that complete team subject, but we're focusing specifically on the NFC West teams in the NFL playoffs. So which of the three is the most complete team? Rams, Niners, or Cardinals?
I think it's the Rams. I think it's the Rams.
You got the Rams?
Yeah, it's...
The Garoppolo thing scares me, but I went 49ers.
Yeah, and that's what Pro Football Focus was trying to do. They were trying to, not take the quarterbacks out, but look at everything else and not just the quarterbacks, who are the most complete teams. And yeah, the 49ers, Debo Samuel and that defense, and I get it. I just don't know if they're the most complete. I think the Rams, with the playmakers they have on both sides of the ball, I think they're the most complete team in the division, but that doesn't mean I think they're going to win on Monday night because of that. What's our audience say on this one?
So our audience is leaning heavily with the Rams. 49% of the vote goes to them. 36.8% of the vote is going to the Cardinals. 14.3% to the Niners.
All right. That's the Twitter poll question of the day. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. You can vote on that whenever you get a chance at Burns and Gambo. One word. By the way, they had Pro Football Focus was the one who did this story about complete teams. They had the 49ers as the most complete team, the Rams as the fifth most complete team. They had the Cardinals as the 11th most complete team.
Crazy.
It is. It is
11th. They had Kansas City below that.
Yeah.
Kansas City is like a favorite to win the Super Bowl. But I think it doesn't matter, right? Complete doesn't mean like, oh, they're a complete team. They're going to win.
Yeah.
Just means that you're good at a lot of different things, but doesn't mean maybe you're not great at one thing.
In a similar fashion, with a lot of playoff-related content out there, the same website, Pro Football Focus, took a look at the strengths and weaknesses of each team going forward into this first round of the playoffs. And to look at the Arizona Cardinals is pretty interesting. They list the strength as Kyler Murray, the playmaker, and what he's able to do when things kind of break down, the passing grade he has on scramble plays, his ability to hit wide receivers when he's outside the pocket. The weakness that they list for the Arizona Cardinals, no DeAndre Hopkins, and how much of a hit the offense has taken, since they've lost DeAndre Hopkins.
Obviously, the biggest thing is the red zone, right? It's not that Hopkins was getting 100 yards a game and he was going to go for 1,500 yards and he was going to have 110 catches. That wasn't it. DeAndre Hopkins was having a down year as far as receptions and yards are concerned, to the point that even in this this story, they say, well, you know, the look at the difference between DeAndre Hopkins compared to Antoine Wesley with the yardage. It's only like, 20 yards, was it, Burnsy? I think it was like 20-yard difference.
Yeah, it wasn't that much of a difference.
It's like 20 yards, but the difference is the red zone. Every one of Hopkins' touchdown catches were in the red zone. He was a beast in the red zone. Nobody could stop him. Cardinals got in the red zone. DeAndre Hopkins or James Connors were getting the ball, and they were getting a touchdown.
Yeah.
They had two amazing weapons in the red zone in Connor and Hopkins. You lose Hopkins, they've struggled in the red zone. You brought this up yesterday. We talked about their struggles. I mean, it's immensely missing Hopkins when they get inside the 20-yard line. He's such a great player. If you want to double him, it's going to free other guys up. And single coverage, I mean, it was just a really good connection between Kyler and DeAndre in that red zone. Not having him there has forced the Cardinals to have to settle for a lot more field goals than we want them to.
Yeah, and you know what? I go back and forth with this one since we're talking about the red zone and we're talking about Hopkins. It feels like, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong on this one, because I know you won't be shy about that. It feels like the Cardinals do have plenty of other options in the red zone other than DeAndre Hopkins, and it seems to me that Kyler Murray just doesn't trust them as much as he trusts DeAndre Hopkins.
Because
you're telling me in the red zone, I got A.J. Green, I got Rondale Moore, I got Christian Kirk, I've got, before he got hurt, I got James Conner, I got this guy, I got Zach Ertz now because I went out and made an acquisition for him halfway through the season. It feels like this shouldn't be a problem, and I'm not trying to place blame necessarily on Kyler Murray, but I can't help but wondering if Kyler just – is not as comfortable slash doesn't trust any of those other guys the way he trusted or was comfortable with DeAndre Hopkins.
You know the song, if you can't be with the one you love, then love the one, you're with.
Love the one you're with, Kyler.
Love the one you're with, man. Love the one you – if you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you're with. And that's what he's got to learn, man. You get in that red zone, start singing that song to yourself. Start singing that song. Because it's you've got to find –
that's the best advice I've heard all day. That's great. Kyler, right? When you get in the red zone, here's what you do. Start singing, if you can't be with the one you love,
yeah,
darling, love the one you're with.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Kyler's gonna hum this in the
it's Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
I can just see Kyler now. He gets in the red zone on Monday night and he looks around at his guys and he says, "What was that song that crazy talk show host wanted me to hum? What was that one? Was it Crosby, Stills, and Nash? Okay, all right. If that's what he wants me to do, I'll do." If that's your parting words of wisdom to Kyler, I'd love to see him take you up on that.
Crank that up right here. An eagle flies
Let me have to sing.
With a dove. Honey, love the one.
All right,
Kyler. Pick somebody to love. Love Zach Ertz or Christian Kirk or love somebody, Kyler.
Yeah,
love somebody.
Yep, because
you can't be with D-Hop right now.
It's not.
You guys
happen.
Can't be together.
No,
Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
And those red zone targets, those red zone numbers, Kent Summers of AZ Central did a fantastic job yesterday, I thought, of just breaking down the at times steep decline for the Cardinals' production in the red zone. I did the Redbird Roundtable this morning with our morning show, and it's hard to just pick one thing that has been so broken for the Cardinals the last few weeks, Gambo. It's been a lot of things. For me, it's their red zone production. That's the one thing you've got to get that fixed. And I know they've had, you pointed out yesterday, it's not like this is a new problem. They've had weeks to work on this.
Weeks, yeah.
You've got to be, you can't go kicking 31-yard field goals against the Rams and think you're going to win. If you're inside the 20, you need a touchdown.
No, Cliff's a handyman right now that can't get the repair job done. You've got to figure it out. Like, you know?
Yep.
You got to figure out how to fix this, Cliff. I mean, you got to figure out, you don't have DeAndre Hopkins. The red zone has suffered. You got to figure out. You got to have some plays. Now, I'm not saying you got to go trick plays. Maybe you do. I mean, you got to do whatever you have, you've got to use against the Rams. But you've got to find a way to get this team in the end zone. The Cardinals can't have four trips in the red zone and come away with one touchdown in this game. They've got to be much better. When they get in the red zone, listen, I don't mind you. If you get in the red zone four times, I'm looking for three touchdowns. Let's go. I mean, you want to win this game? You can't be kicking field goals all day long.
For the record, according to Pro Football Focus's metrics, the weakness for the Los Angeles Rams, the strength, I should say, for the LA Rams, is their offensive line. Saying it was not bad in 2020, it finished 11th in pass blocking grade over the course of the regular season. That was last year, but they've been elite this season in pass blocking. Their weakness, they say, and I don't think this is going to surprise anybody, is defensive depth. Yeah. They've got Aaron Donald. Yeah, they've got Jalen Ramsey. Yeah, they might be the two best players in their position in the entire league, but their depth falls off a lot after that with the injuries. Now, Von Miller is going to help a little bit with that, and we'll see if they get their cornerback back. I saw today on the injury report that their cornerback, who is dealing with that injury, he's working his way through it, and he's kind of trying to push his way through his injury that we have. I'm talking about Darius Williams, practiced in full today with the shoulder injury. And so he, you know, is we've been looking at their secondary and no Taylor Rapp, their safety, and no Jordan Fuller. He's out. Taylor Fuller, I should say. Darius Williams, the cornerback, did practice today in full. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Okay. Yeah. They could have everybody healthy. And the Cardinals are an offense that has the ability to score 30 points. We talked about the Rams' defense. It was number one last year. It is not a great overall defense. There are great individual players that can wreak havoc on you. But overall, it is not a great defense. They're somewhere in the middle of the pack. I think it was 17th, Bernsey. So this defense is good, but not great. You would expect that the Cardinals should be able to move the ball, score points against this defense. But again, every time they get inside the 20, we're going to be ultra-focused.
Because
Cliff's got to find a way. He's got to find a way. Now, I don't know that maybe it's different targets. I like Christian Kirk, man. I like Zach Ertz in the red zone, but I like Christian Kirk to get you a lot of plays. I really believe in Christian Kirk. I think he's a really great football player. But somebody has to step up in the red zone.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, we had Mikal Bridges on the show earlier today. He is a huge, huge Los Angeles Rams fan, and he is not shy about it. And you'll hear how not shy about it he is next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Cardinals championship chase coverage presented by 72 Soul on the home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo talk cards, Rams, now.
Mikal Bridges is actually talking cards, Rams right now. We had such a great conversation with him earlier in the show. We thought we'd replay a little chunk of it because it was just so funny and it was so raw and it was so real. Mikal Bridges, star for the Suns. We love him. Huge personality. We love talking to him,
huge
Gambo.
Huge personality.
Right? I know. And he's a huge L.A. Rams fan. And he's not shy about it on social media. He's not shy about having friendly, fun banter with Cardinal fans about it. And so we had him on today, and it was supposed to be about the Suns, but we kind of just rolled up our sleeves and got to work. So we wanted to play this little snippet of it because it really is a lot of fun.
This makes no sense to me, man. You grew up in Philly. You went to school.
Here we go.
I don't make it back any psych. Eagles? Like, I could buy Eagles. Like, but
here we go.
The Rams? Like, when was the first time you were ever west of the freaking Mississippi?
Come on, man. I'm a Philly fan for every other sport. Just because I was a kid and grew up just playing a video game and fell in love with Marshall Faulk, Kurt Warner, and them boys. Just made me stay with them when he was in St. Louis. I'm a Philly fan every other sport, bro.
All right. Have you seen American Underdog, the Kurt Warner movie?
I have not. I saw that. I thought it just came out, too.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's a good movie. It's a solid movie. I think you'd really like it. It's Kurt Warner's whole story. So Marshall Faulk, Kurt Warner, those are your guys. So as a kid growing up, that was your team.
That was my team with Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce.
Yep.
Yeah, like I love T.O. was one of my favorite wideouts when I grew up, and it was so crazy. I loved the fact that he was number 81 because Torrey Holt was 81 when I was watching him. So like it all trickles down to everything, man. I was a big fan, and I used to get made fun of when I was a kid in middle school. My friends like, St. Louis Rams, they stink, they suck. And I'm like, listen, I'm rocking my boys.
Well, I'm trying to think, like, when you were 10, I mean, the Eagles weren't bad. I mean, when you were, like, 10, 11 years old, like, that Eagle team with Donovan McNabb and T.O., like, those were good teams.
Oh, 100%. And I loved when they were there with Vic and Shady and all them. Think about it, when T.O. went there, I was giddied up. Trust me, man, I know a lot about the Eagles, man. I know a lot of the players, as much as I know the Rams, just being in it. And trust me, B. Dawg's one of my favorite ever. Westbrook, you know, going from Villanova, one of my favorites. Like, I got a lot of people I really liked on that, really loved on that Eagles teams, on all the Eagles teams as well. But just, that just shows me, I could have easily just switched over and just been an Eagles fan, but I couldn't leave my Rams, and they were so bad. It's like, if they were just middle pack, I could have probably got away just going back to Eagles fans, but they were so bad, so my friends were on me all the time, and I felt personal. I'm like, I'm never going to switch up on them.
Now
they're winning.
Yeah.
Now they're winning, and I end up in the NBA, and now everybody think I'm a fair weather fan, bro. It's crazy.
Here's what I love about you. Mikal Bridges joining us here on the Burns and Gambo show. Noted L.A. Rams fan. I love that you stuck with your team. Number two, you're here in the home of the Arizona Cardinals, and not only have you stuck with your team in the middle of all of that, man, you are not shy at all about advertising it on social media. Not one bit. You will shout it from the mountaintops that you're a Rams fan, and basically it seems like your attitude to Cardinal fans is just like, bring it, you know? I mean, hey, you got something to say? I'm right here. Say it to me. You are wearing this, you are owning it, and you are not running from it, even with this game coming up on Monday night. I think that's great.
I know, and it's good though. It's all love and day because it really shows Arizona and Phoenix, you know, just type of sports fans you guys really are. And being here for my fourth year and really understand, I'm like, all right, these guys are diehards, and I can tell because they're on me, and I love it. Because if I say something about the Eagles, if I say they suck, every single person in Philly is going to be in my mentions violate me. And Cardinal fans are the same way, and that's why I love them. Okay, we got some real fans out here, and I enjoy it.
All right, well, we'll get to Suns in a second, but I got one more. You're a 14-year-old kid. The Eagles are in the playoffs, 2008, 2009. 2009, they beat Minnesota. They beat the Giants. And then they come here to play the Cardinals. They're one win away from the Super Bowl. The Steelers ended up beating the Cardinals that year in the Super Bowl. But, like, at that point, I mean, Philly must have been going crazy, and you're not an Eagle fan. What was that like?
I mean, I was rooting for them, though. Like, you know, I had no bad blood. You know, I wasn't like, oh, like, I hate them, they suck. I was rooting for them. Like, yeah, like, I'm in the city, I'm rooting for them because my team's not there. It's just, I'm a kid. I'm a picket team I root for, you know. I'm a rock with them. I was with them, man. I'm telling you, a lot of guys on that team that I became fans of, and you know, play football for those reasons because players on the Eagles.
I'm looking. That was a snippet of our conversation with Mikal Bridges.
Good conversation.
I'm looking at his Twitter account, and I mean, it is just all Ramsey. Or I strongly dislike San Fran. Or I didn't know SF didn't like being called San Fran. Must be that East Coast in me, LOL. It's okay. Part of it is asking for people to get Book and CP and DeAndre Ayton into the All-Star game. But, man, a lot of it is just Rams stuff. He's a huge, huge Rams fan.
Have we had that with any other athlete in this town that was a big fan of another team that we despised or didn't like that you can remember?
No. Haven't we had a few ball players who played for the Diamondbacks who like grew up in the Seattle? Wasn't Jake Lamb like a big Seahawks fan? I don't want to put words in the kid's mouth, but weren't there a couple there were a couple of Diamondbacks who were from the Seattle area, and I seem to remember a couple of them were Seattle Seahawks.
But it has to be
fans.
Team that we despise. Well, I guess we despise Seattle.
Seattle, okay. Yeah.
All right.
A thumbs up on that?
Yeah, Leo. A story that Gilbert wrote back in 2015 talking about Lamb excited to watch the Seahawks at practice the offseason.
Okay, we didn't have Jake Lamb on a ton, but every time we did, I seem to remember we talked with him about
Steven
the Seahawks.
Steven Souza was a big Seattle fan.
Yes, he was.
He was.
Yep. There have been a few.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think the L.A. Was anybody a big Laker fan?
I'm sure we've had a couple of, but I can't, off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you who. I'm sure we've had a few big Laker fans who have come through here. But Mikal's wearing it. He ain't shy about it. He's not shy about it one bit. That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
They just announced it about a minute ago on ESPN that Clayton Keller is an All-Star. We've got a story up on ArizonaSports.com. We went with that information about 25 minutes ago. But just about a minute ago on SportsCenter, they unveiled Clayton Keller as an All-Star for the Coyotes. So congratulations to him.
Congrats to him, the lone representative from the Coyotes. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show on this Thursday, Kyler Murray, he knows what's up. He knows what's at stake. He's very prepared for what's waiting for him on Monday night. You'll hear from the Cardinals quarterback coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.